This is Pants in the Boot. I'm your host, Glenn Fleischman, in the great state of Washington in the United States. And with me on this episode are Dan from Massachusetts, Chris from near Dundee, Scotland, James in Glasgow, Anthony, the author of the best-selling Joe Shelter series under a pseudonym in the northwest of England, Annette in Edmonton, and Erica in Edmonton by way of Wisconsin. Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming back. Hey.
Hello.
We were talking meals in our last episode and got a little hot and heated. Or reheated. You know, I saw the first full English I actually saw was at a wonderful hotel near Heathrow, a little cheapo hotel run extremely well, and they had the full English, but they also had the full Indian, and it was wonderful. So you could choose among the two entire cuisines for breakfast. So that was delightful. We don't typically have that much variety in the United States. What is your breakfast? What do you eat first thing in the morning?
I'd rather have Indian than full English, frankly. Yeah. I'll say that.
I feel like whenever I travel in the UK, I do the full Scottish English, or if I'm in Ireland, the full Irish, like once on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Once. Yeah, that's like as most I can do.
That's right. You don't eat again for the entire trip, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
So we should go into what a full insert name of country is. So typically a full Scottish, it's going to be eggs, usually fried, maybe scrambled or poached. And you've got sausage in Scotland, possibly a square sausage, a Lorne sausage, bacon, mushrooms. I hate mushrooms. Tomatoes, baked beans, a potato scone deep fried. And then up here, probably black pudding or occasionally haggis, something
James
like that.
James is salivating right now.
I should say that is not something that I have every day. If I did, I would have died of a heart attack many years ago. It's something that I will have, and this is to confuse matters, I'll typically have that for brunch if I go out with friends, which
no,
we do occasionally.
Brunch.
For there's very slight variance on that. Like, you know, you won't get the haggis typically anywhere other than Scotland. Maybe sometimes in Ireland, but what's the other? What other full meals do people recommend from their area?
I'm actually a terrible person to ask about full English because I don't eat meat.
Yes,
so
right. Which is 75% of that.
Yeah, I almost never have them. I occasionally have a sort of, you know, veggie equivalent.
Surely you could deep fry vegetables, you know, just
very, very. But even then, only very occasionally. The thing is, the full English, like, almost nobody eats it anymore, except for people at hotels, because it's always on the menu at hotels, possibly mostly for tourists, admittedly, or genuinely blue collar, like, you know, truckers, builders, people who actually do need that massive calorie boost at the start of the day, as we spoke about before. Beyond that, honestly, I don't think most people, even in England, eat an English breakfast anymore because it is so much. It's so much to have at the start of the day.
I have to say that there's a lot that will... It takes a lot to persuade me not to have a full English if I'm staying in a hotel. Like, if I'm sitting there looking at the menu and, you know, it's kippers, or actually kedgeree can often sway me, but, you know, kippers, or, you know, it's the, you know, fresh Greek yogurt with fresh nectarines, I don't know. But just like at the top of the menu, there's full English. But this would be full English. If it's full English, it's included. Why not have it? Why not have it? I'm just going to have it, man.
I'm the guy who will genuinely plump for things like, oh, an oatmeal or, you know, with a muesli. That sounds nice.
Oh, you're the guy. You're the guy.
I'm not saying I don't sound nice, Anthony. I'm just saying that given the choice between that nice sounding muesli and...
I don't know if this is a Scottish thing, a stereotypical Scottish thing, but if I am in a hotel and I have paid for breakfast,
absolutely,
I will have the full,
take your value,
everything,
you want,
and
the most,
and I'll have
get,
the
yeah,
toast on the side. Yes, I'll have a coffee. Yes, I'll have a juice. Just give me everything. Because
it's the one time a Scotsman will have some vitamins in the form of
yes.
You must be a monster at most American hotels then.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, that's why I, whenever I come back from a trip to the States, I have to diet for several months afterwards.
Sorry, did you say diet or die?
Both. Annette, is there a full Canadian? And what's his name?
His name is Bob or Doug.
I thought it was Tim.
I don't know that we do have a full Canadian. Mm-hmm. We do have a lot of sweet things on the menu. When you go out, again, we'd eat more of the bigger thing for a brunch than a typical day, but the whole French toast or waffles or pancakes. So there's the whole sweet aspect of breakfast too. And a thing, like if you go to a brunch buffet in Edmonton, because we have a lot of Ukrainians, we often have pierogies available.
Oh, yeah, that's the only thing that I have noticed that's different, like on menus here from living in the States in the Midwest is, yes, pierogies for every meal.
Anytime. It's like there's a buffet, there's always pierogies. And I think that's more of an Alberta than across Canada thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What are pierogies?
We have a large... Ukrainian dumplings with potatoes and stuff in it.
They're fried, but they're more boiled and then... They're boiled and then pan-fried, I think, not deep-fried.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. They're delicious.
But you often have sour cream and... bacon, which I'm like, I don't know if that's traditional Ukrainian or if that's our adaptation.
Sour cream, for sure. Well, I'm sorry, I'm from, my family's Lithuanian, so it's adjacent, but yes.
Yeah, well, they're all like, and pierogies expand, they're beyond just the Ukraine. They include, I mean, because Poland and lots of Eastern European countries
I knew
have their
of
own
them
takes on that.
As a Polish food before I moved here, and now I know they're also Ukrainian.
We also have lots of Ukrainian sausage, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm. There's a lot of Polish supermarkets here because there was a lot of Polish immigration. And so even like places like Lidl, the supermarket, will have like a Polish week or something.
Oh.
So yes, you'll stock up the fridge full of pierogies and things like that. It's very nice.
Even in our little town here, we had a Polski Schlep for several years, which only closed recently, I fear, because of Brexit, unfortunately.
Can I introduce a happier topic, which is that much as I do love a full English or a full Scottish breakfast, I will doff my cap to the American diner breakfast experience.
Oh,
that's the one
bit of
Americana that I unapologetically adore. And the cheery welcome in the door and the constantly refilling of the coffee. And it's the one time where I am fully, fully on board with American portion sizes, because there is no thing as too much bacon or too many pancakes or too much eggs. Sure. It's great.
I am happy to say that that same thing exists in Canada.
Oh,
Stephen and I go out for breakfast literally every Saturday morning, we did while we could still leave the house.
Oh.
And yeah, same thing. Like the difference is that back home in Wisconsin, you'd go to a diner and it would be mostly white people serving you. And here it is all people of color serving you. And like we are at the point where like they know what we're going to order. Like the waitress will come by and be like, I just put on a pot of decaf for you when I saw you walk in. And like they know our orders. They know exactly how we want things. So we've just started ordering breakfast delivered, but it is the same. Like I always get eggs and sausage and hash browns and toast on the side because I don't eat gluten. So Steven eats my toast and he gets his oatmeal and his fruit and his eggs and his toast. And like, it is just, it's that wonderful, you know, mediocre coffee diner experience every time.
Oh yeah.
Dan, I want to ask you something. I want to get your input on this, Dan, because I think the truly American breakfast item that you eat at a or not at a diner, but you eat at a restaurant in the morning, and it can be a restaurant that serves diner-like food, the breakfast burrito, I think, is the most American thing you can get in America right now.
Probably true, although it's not. Yeah, that would almost never. I've had them, but it's not really my thing. I'm much more the before.
The only breakfast burrito I've ever had, I had in Montreal. So,
traditional
thing in Canada
Montreal.
Too.
The time I see most people eating breakfast burritos is actually at places like San Diego Comic-Con, where people are lined up outside the building waiting to get in the morning or waiting to get like a last minute ticket or something. And enterprising young people will literally come down the line with boxes full of foil-wrapped breakfast burritos, selling them
makes
for like $3 a piece.
Because you can eat it. It's handheld, right?
Yeah,
like,
and usually
handheld,
you can get
which
ones
is
with
the big thing.
Scrambled eggs, black beans.
Most of the time, like
bacon,
if you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna stand in line and eat French toast. No, what are you gonna hold? You gotta hold it with one hand, stab it with the other hand.
No, but Dan, if you figured a way to do that, you'd make $1 million.
Thing is, I love burritos, but I'm not keen on breakfast burritos for some reason. There's something about, I don't know.
I'm with you. I feel like, why jam them all together?
Well, to what Chris said, I'm a real fan of breakfast omelets and home fries that you get in American diners.
Sure. Yeah, those are good too. I mean, like, so that's the thing is like, most days if I am at home, as I am now all the time. During the week, if I'm eating breakfast, my breakfast is like, it's a bowl of cereal and then it's probably, you know, either a piece of toast or an English muffin or something like that. I always feel like going out for breakfast largely is a weekend thing, as I think some other people have alluded to. And it tends to be more of a brunch thing. And really, the only thing I think distinguishes brunch, essentially from like a breakfast is it's usually spans later, right? Like it usually starts like you don't have brunch at 8 o'clock in the morning, but you might have brunch at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock and it goes through lunchtime, your midday meal, like up through one, maybe two. And then it tends to have cuisine that could be from either the breakfast or lunch side of the equation, right? Like you see eggs and bacon, but you also see like...
And you can drink. You can have alcohol when you brunch.
Mandatory, surely.
I can drink for breakfast. No one's going to stop me.
The defining aspect of brunch is the omelet, I would maintain, is that it's not that you can't get an omelet at breakfast. You can get an omelet at breakfast. You can get an omelet at diners. But brunch, it seems to be one of the central meal components. It like I've been in places that have like 30 different omelet options. And, you know, of course, we've got Huevos Rancheros as a kind of omelet-y thing, related to omelet adjacent thing. And the Denver omelet and all these things.
It's every single kind of Benedict, eggs Benedict you can possibly get. I would say the operative part of brunch, though, is that you can get either something that's more of a breakfast-based meal, like an eggs or a French toast.
I'm so sorry, gentlemen. You're both wrong. The defining characteristic of our brunch is a mimosa.
Mimosa, oh. Yes.
I agree. All it's right. A mimosa.
100% what defines brunch.
I think the thing of brunch, to me, is an excuse. And it's an excuse to eat something really calorific
because
and
it's
bad
two meals in one, right?
Yeah. Like that's, I mean, that's like, rationale. I didn't have breakfast. I didn't. So, and it's usually, for me anyway, it's usually, you know, if you were meeting somebody. And then it's even more of an excuse because everybody uses it as an excuse for everybody else. It's like, oh, well, you know, this is slightly
You're
more
rude
special.
Not to.
Yeah, so I might as well have, you know, we can generally, if we go out to somewhere, I mean, everybody's using this in past tense, when we used to go out.
Sorry, the future.
You could go to a place and it would have the full Scottish type things. It would have your, you know, your peaches in yogurt or whatever it is. But then you would also have, you know, like the sort of the large Mexican stuff or all of the American options, or at least the sort of highlights of the American options. So, you know, stuff stacked with bacon and pancakes.
It doesn't matter. It's that it's stacked. That's all that really matters.
It's like, it seems like it's
requires
you're doing
stacking.
It's like a game.
More food
it's like
onto the plan of a plate.
How tall can you make this thing before it falls over under the weight of?
It's a little
like,
Jenga-ish.
Now, I want to point something out that we all are talking about breakfast as a meal we eat out and brunch. Brunch, you almost always eat out. I mean, we've had people over to our house for brunch, of course.
It implies a social thing too, but right? Like breakfast, my parents will have a brunch or something like that. But like, I don't know. I don't think if my wife and I were just home, I don't think we just make brunch. Or I don't think I would. I definitely would not have brunch by myself. That seems very, very sad.
If we did it at home by ourselves, it would be to try to have a special occasion type thing.
That's so funny.
Possibly on a birthday, you might do something fancier.
Yeah. But breakfast is a meal we think of. I think all of our fond memories of breakfast are not eating at home. Some other meals, you know, dinner or supper.
Speak might for yourself.
I love breakfast.
But we didn't really talk about cereals.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I eat every day for breakfast.
Yeah, same.
You know, 999 times out of 1,000 is I will eat a bowl of breakfast cereal.
Yeah, and our breakfast cereal tends to have less sugar than your breakfast cereals. So
that's
not a very high bar.
Slightly fewer marshmallows to be found in the traditional British
cereal. I never was allowed marshmallow cereals when I was
growing up. Either. Yeah. And Fruit Loops was a big treat.
What would Mr. Kellogg say, you know, having developed cornflakes to stop people masturbating, what would
you
say
indeed.
To the idea of marshmallows?
True.
And
true. My parents discovered natural foods when I was 10, and it was terrible. It was terrible, let me tell you.
Oh, well, we never went that far, but like you had to, like, you know, in our house, the most luxurious of cereals was like Rice Krispies.
Ours was Honey Nut Cheerios. But that was as far as we would go. It was always Cheerios.
I was lucky to get plain Cheerios, Erica.
Or Kix. Chex. Like that was those.
Does
the
anyone
days.
Else find breakfast to be genuinely the hardest meal to sort out for?
Yes.
It's my favorite. Oh no way! It's my
dinners. Breakfast I always forget about, and then
I wake up and I don't want to eat anything. I'm like, I'm angry at food.
My wife. My wife gets up and she is not hungry, whereas breakfast is my favorite meal of the day because I have not eaten in 8 hours. What is going on?
Well, hence the name, break fast. Yes. I mean, that's the whole point.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite meal, but it's part of my morning routine is, I eat breakfast every day and have done
it's like
for as long as I can remember. But like I say, it is a bowl of cereal and not
fancy sugary. It's like I alternate between Weetabix or muesli.
I have a breakfast shake every morning, like that's except on the weekends. But yeah, it's just like a protein and greens shake with yogurt. That's it.
Is that some sort of dance? Or
I alternate my breakfast cereals between boring healthy ones, and then every now and again I'll have like one of the ones that's like little shredded wheat parcels filled with apricot or you know something like yeah, that.
I'm so shredded into wheat the, parcels. I'm fully into the era of my cereal of choice is generally like, ooh, Raisin Bran. How did I get to be a Raisin Bran person? I don't know, but suddenly I am. I will say, you know, I think actually I lied about breakfast being my favorite meal. My favorite meal is whatever the next one is going to be, which to say, like, just to, maybe I should mention this in our meal one, but I've told the story about my family, which is great, which is literally every meal, whenever I'm together with my family and there's, you know, 10 or 12 of us, you know, we'll go out sometimes for a meal or we'll be at someone's house for a meal. We'll make a meal. We'll finish the meal. Everyone will be sitting there digesting, sitting back. We're chatting, very gregarious. And then we'll sort of pause and somebody will go, so where are we going for the next meal? Which has to be planned at the end of the current meal.
Can I go slightly continental? One of the things that was quite a surprise to me going to Germany was the breakfast there. Very meat heavy, cheese heavy. Lots of pretzels, butter, bread, more meat, more cheese. And some more meat on top of that.
Like cold cuts too, right? Yeah. Like it is like, you know, salami. Like,
is every portion exactly the size, the same size as every other portion though?
No, I mean, they'll just be like a huge spread. They'll be like there'll be, you know, all these different kinds of meats put out. And there's like, basically, there's a lot more effort has been put into this than has been put into anything that would happen in Scotland, even in the deep frying. You know, this is like, here is an array of the finest meats and cheeses from around the world. And we're like, yeah, just stick it in a deep fryer and we're happy.
Yeah. We did a similar thing when my wife and I went to visit my brother-in-law in Japan. We had obviously the, whatever it was, 12-hour flight. And we arrived in Osaka and then my brother-in-law met us and we went for some breakfast. And I'm reasonably adventurous with my food, but just when, you know, there was like a quite terrifying looking fish put down in front of me and so just like after a 12-hour flight, I was like, do you have any cornflakes?
They could have given you natto though, and then that could have been even worse. So,
well, quite.
Yeah. I mean, I have had a number of Japanese experiences where I have reached the threshold of, I was at somebody's house and it was the house of their sort of sensei mentor person. And they had a sushi bar in the actual house.
Oh my goodness gracious.
And we sat there and the sushi was being prepared for us. And the sushi got more elaborate each course, like visibly, noticeably fancier. And we got to the end and it was sea slugs. I said to my friend, I said, what is the polite way to sort of decline this? And he said, the polite way is to eat it.
You don't.
With all this food talk, I think it's time to go to a more substantial meal. So I want to finish with the most Glenning thing ever. Probably the 27th definition of Glenning is my dad used to make granola for a living. He had a granola company. And I spent one summer of my life making granola with my father. So that's why I don't know if I don't eat granola today very often because of that, or I just have too refined a palate. But I want to thank everybody for talking about breakfast and brunch. And we're going to move on to lunch in the next episode. Thank you everyone for being here. Thank you, Chris Breen, for our theme music. We are part of the very fine, incomparable network of podcasts in which many of the people, in fact, all of the people at various times on this episode appear on various episodes about things like, I don't know, Star Trek and TV shows and fun books and comics. And some people even write books and comics that appear on these shows. So tune in to theincomparable.com to find all of our shows. Maybe give us a little support if you think, help us produce more nonsense. Thank you for listening and come back for lunch.